From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 16th day of May 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Mexican-licensed freight trucks might soon be allowed to operate everywhere in the United States. And the value of farmland is continuing to climb higher. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you how GPS is making it possible and much easier for farmers to apply nitrogen to their corn crop in the springtime, even if that's happening right at planting. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at $7.36.5, also the harvest month in July, up 8.75 today. September futures at $7.84.25, up 7.25. Kansas City, July at $9.10.25, up a dime on the day. Back in Chicago from the CME Group, July corn futures at $6.97.5, 15.5 cents higher. September at $6.71.5, up 17.75. December $6.35.5, up 8.5. And March futures at $6.46.25, up 7.75. May of next year at $6.53.75, up 7.25. July beans at $13.26.5, down 3 for the day. August $13.22.5, 4 cents lower. September at $13.14.25, down 3.75. And November beans $13.06.25, down 4.5 cents. Bean meal at $3.45.70, up 30. Bean oil at $55.91. 23 cents lower on the day. Nearby Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures settled at 108.32.5, down 67.5 cents today. The May futures in the feeder cattle at 127.95, or 75 cents lower, and June lean hog futures at $93.60 per 100 pounds, down 95 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $96.95 a barrel, down $2.71. Ethanol at $2.53.5 in the lead option, 3.2 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.31.2 up 6.6. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.85.9 down 8.2 cents today. Gold futures settled at $1,490.40, $3 lower. The Dow at 12,575 was down just about 20 points at the last count. The dollar at 75.46, down 2.8. The CRB at 336.78, down 1.75. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area for this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high near 59 degrees. Northwest winds at about 18 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 24 today. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 38. North-northeast winds at 8 to 15 miles an hour. And tomorrow, mostly sunny skies again, high near 60. North-northeast winds at 11 to 15, gusting to 23. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 45, 7 to 13 for the winds out of the northeast. And then Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 63. North-northwest winds between 8 and 10. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 52. By the time we get to Thursday, should see mostly cloudy skies, a high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 55. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 74. Friday night, cloudy again, a low of 59. Saturday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continues with a low of 63. On Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, the high near 81 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour and talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst and will help us take a look at the futures market for the day. Thanks for being with us, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I do have a question for you because I made note that during the trade today, the December contract in the corn managed to move through the $7 range, but it didn't settle there. Is that very important to the trade?
Yeah, the July corn got up to as high as 708. But, too, if you kind of draw a downtrend line, today's high comes fairly close to that downtrend resistance. Psychological-wise, to keep the momentum up, it'd be nice to close above the $7 level. We got the momentum indicators up. We had a little hook reversal up there last week on Thursday there. So here by Wednesday or so, if we can sort of get above $7 and break that downtrend line, that might bring in a little bit more technical buying, Todd.
You're all too nice to me. You know full well I said May. And that's not trading. That would have been amazing. It was, in fact, the July corn contract. But nonetheless, it was above $7. So what else did you see in the marketplace for the day?
Oh, just a lot of bullish enthusiasm out of the get-go there with the well-publicized flooding and the talk of Chinese corn business. And the outside market's ability to hold steady during the grain trade just gave the investor some confidence to be a buyer, but as the day went on, took a little bit of moisture out of the forecast, and of course, the outside markets gave up some ground, so we saw some backing and filling late in the session there. Beans, you know, probably the most negative closing lower here. One idea is that they might see a few more acres here if the weather doesn't cooperate to get some of this corn in the ground here in the wetter areas.
Last week on Monday afternoon, the USDA surprised the market just a bit by giving us a 40% national average for the number of acres that had been put into the ground. What do you think it'll be today?
That's a tough one. It's going to be big because most guys went 24/7, and we got a lot of corn in the ground. I imagine we're in this 50 to 60% done as a nation. Be interesting to see state breakdowns and see who made some accomplishments there. The thing, though, is they could probably put any number they want on it here for the next 2 weeks or so. The key will be that last 10 to 15%. When does that go in, if it does, and in what area? So we'll have a lot more knowledge here at 3 o'clock when that report comes out.
And then tomorrow afternoon during the closing market report on this program, you can hear the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states give you an idea of what those numbers look like, actually the actual numbers from each of their states. I think it's mostly important that in their commentaries they give you not only that idea, but an idea of when things really started. So a few weeks ago we knew because the Iowa statistician said it was the last couple of days that those Iowa farmers started to ramp up their planting of corn. So, you know, that got reflected in the following week, but we knew that there was a couple of days there at the end of the previous one where they were really beginning to move. They'll show up during our closing market report from the five top corn-producing states. And, of course, we'll put them on our pre-opening and opening market reports, too. You can always listen to those at willag.org online. Producers have been busy. Have they been calling you with many questions at this point?
Well, what's the market doing more than anything?
Right.
As they get out and they get down in the lower areas, they can't get you guys tuned in and hear the regular market updates. But just the news, they like to stay informed of the news and the market reaction. It's a real mixed bag because you talk to guys north and west. They virtually went about 3 weeks without any moisture, so they got a large portion of the crop in the ground. But then, too, as you well know, we go south, east, especially along the Ohio River Valley, up and through there, very little progress has been done. A lot of questions, why isn't the market reacting? And it's a tough one to handle because as we look back past history, it's awful hard to get something to go when you have planters running in the drier areas, and it just takes a little bit of time. oftentimes if the market's going to react, past history says it's probably in the June time window versus this May time window, Todd.
We're starting to get a few days away from the last World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimate. Have you had a moment then to really kind of crunch those numbers out? And I'm thinking of the average cash sale numbers, which show pretty much a record for corn, soybeans, and wheat on the coming marketing year. Not the one that we're in now, but the crop that's going in the ground. Looks like it could be an awfully good year for producers if they manage to take advantage of it. And do you think they need to roll that forward faster, or can they wait it out?
Well, we've been promoting sales because when you look at where we were last winter and when you did the cash flow analysis and where we are now, it's quite lucrative. There's going to be guys making $500, $600, $700 an acre. Beans, they did have a crop to sell this fall, but we like to manage risk and lock some of this in. There's a lot of creative ways you can hedge your bet. We've used a lot of futures and option strategies here to take advantage of it. Now, for those in wet areas and so forth, the question is how many bushels to sell, and that's where the paper hedge comes in, where it gives you flexibility and the comfort knowing that you're not oversold in the cash side of the equation there, Todd.
Speaking of the cash side of the equation, we've listened and watched the bases close up over the last several days. Do you think there will be opportunities for producers to go ahead and make cash forward sales in the next week or so for their new crop?
I believe so. They're going to have to keep bids firm. Right now, producers that have old crop inventory left, we're going to be tight holders here for a while, so it's going to have to be attractive to shake that loose. And of course, this is the hardest time to get cash grain to move during the planting season, per se. So we look for basis to remain firm here. There's still a little bit of end user demand out there that's not covered, and so they're going to have to promote stronger basis. And plus, two, The weather situation and maturity of the crop, we'll see some pretty good bids here as we try to gather some inventory. See, end users try to gather inventory in that August-September time window.
What about once we get the harvest started? Do you think producers should be looking at making cash forward sales for their new crop at this point?
Well, yeah, I think, sales are warranted at these price levels. We got to remember that there's a large amount of optimism on the speculative side, and we're starting to lose that optimism on the speculative side. So the risk as a producer is to the downside from here, and we feel the thing to do is to make the sales and replace ownership or have some type of price floor under you to give you some protection until we get into fall to see what type of crop we have.
Hey, thank you so much.
Very good, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Comes to us each and every Monday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, if you haven't yet dialed in a number and tried out our mobile analyst portal just as a fun thing to do and to learn how to do it in case you can't hear our radio stations or get to our website, you can hear the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis at this phone number. It's 217-333-3434. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. That number again, 217-333-3434. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says the Obama administration is close to finalizing a deal with Mexico that would allow Mexican commercial trucks to operate everywhere in the United States. However, the agreement continues to face resistance from many lawmakers, some of who contend that Mexican trucks raise safety concerns, and some who say the deal would threaten the jobs of U.S. truck drivers. LaHood says the final agreement would address U.S. lawmakers' concerns. 44 House members have written a joint letter to LaHood to criticize the proposal. The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says that U.S. farmland values continued to climb in the first quarter, with the price of cropland in the heart of the Great Plains rising 20%. The gain in cropland values versus a year ago was led by increases in Nebraska and Kansas, where non-irrigated land values jumped 24%. The bank's district also includes Oklahoma, Colorado, Wyoming, and parts of New Mexico and Missouri. Ranch land values were up 11% from the prior year, driven by strong profits for livestock operators, as well as a boom in energy exploration. A consultant firm hired by USDA says that Farm Service Agency state directors should take over the supervision of county executive directors from county committees as a way to help ensure minorities and women farmers are given equal access to USDA programs. Further, USDA should also give incentives to crop insurance agents to make more sales to minority and female farmers. Jackson Lewis LLP Corporate Diversity Counseling Group, an independent counseling firm, interviewed some 1,700 USDA and county employees and concluded that the vast majority of them did not acknowledge discrimination as a problem, even though complaints and lawsuits have been filed for years. The chairs of the Senate and the House Agriculture Committees say recent natural disasters around the country show the need for continuing strong support for farmers in the 2012 Farm Bill. The magnitude of recent agricultural disasters around the country could lead Congress to consider an ad hoc disaster package, even though lawmakers have been driven to cut program spending this year. Right now, 32 states are under some type of federal disaster declaration. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like off our website at willag.org. There you can even sign up to have them delivered to you directly as a podcast. Or if you're in iTunes, you can just search my name, Todd Gleason, and you'll find Commodity Week and the Closing Market Report. But if you go to willag.org, that's our website at willag.org, you'll not only find those two, but also our pre-opening and our opening market reports. It's all part of the Illinois Public Media Agricultural Service. Now, up next, you know, GPS is making it possible and much easier for farmers to apply nitrogen to their corn crop in the springtime, even the late springtime, and that can even happen at planting. It's been a long-held rule that nitrogen should not be applied to a cornfield within a week to 10 days of planting. This is because it can cause serious damage to the seedling, says University of Illinois Extension soil fertility specialist Fabian Fernandez. But GPS is changing everything about side dressing anhydrous ammonia.
Definitely, yes. The concern, of course, with a side dress application of anhydrous ammonia is the potential seedling injury that you might, or the root injury that you might cause. But if you are using a GPS and you know that you're applying it in between rows, you're separating it quite a distance, you know, if you're in 30-inch rows, 15-inch separation from where the plant is, so that should be no problem at all. In fact, it could be done right at the same time of planting or, you know, as a side dress. The important thing is to try to keep that nitrogen away from where the seed is germinating.
So it is possible to side dress nitrogen at the time of planting. Even preferable because planting is quite likely to take place when the soils are in better or good condition, not too wet or too dry, which might not happen later in the season.
Another important thing to consider is the, especially with a side dress application, not so much with application at the time of planting or pre-plant, is the soil conditions. If we are a little bit too wet, we can have some, even if we are applying at a 15-inch distance from the row, we can have some ammonia losses as we are applying that anhydrous ammonia, and that can cause some tissue injury.
Despite this tissue injury risk, there are some very good reasons to side dress nitrogen rather than applying it in the fall or early spring.
Every time you apply nitrogen, long before the plant is going to use it, you increase the window of opportunity for that nitrogen to be lost or for something to happen to that nitrogen that won't be available to the plant the next year. So the closer, the opposite is true. If the closer you are to the time that the plant will need that nitrogen, the better chance you have for that nitrogen to be actually used up by the plant and not by other microorganisms or being lost somewhere.
One other note here on conservation. Applying nitrogen, of course, closer to the time that the plant needs it, makes it more efficient. It's also possible to use less power to apply that nitrogen in the fall or the spring, because between row applications can be done with half as many knives, or one every other row. That takes less power and less fuel to get across the field. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets is Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
When you look at the marketplace today, do you find that the basis has been closing up for both corn and soybeans, old and new crop?
Old crop especially. New crop, I think it's a little too early for people to make sizable changes. I think that will happen eventually, but we're definitely seeing it in the old crop. I was just looking back a week ago. Our corn basis has improved here 8 cents compared to where we were a week ago and 16 cents from where we were a month ago. Soybeans improved a nickel from a week ago and 22 cents from a week ago. So that's old crop. New crop basis hasn't changed yet, but I think it's just a matter of time. You know, we're going to need corn, you know, in that late August, early September time frame, and that's going to have to come from the new crop. And with the delayed planting, you know, you're going to see probably see some kind of an incentive to get some wet corn, you know, to cover that gap until most of the corn is ready to be harvested. So I think and that corn that is basically going to be used for old crop takes away from what's available for the new crop, so that means new crop basis should get a little bit better as well.
When you get to those kind of incentives, and I know you're only making some conjecture here for the new crop, will that incentive say half off drying, we're not going to charge for drying because we need it? What do you think will happen?
Yeah, it could be either just a push in the basis. I mean, it could be 50 cents over the board if you can get it in this week and you worry about getting it dried, or it could be, you know, half price drying, or it would be some combination of drying and a push in the basis.
Might need to be pretty big in our area, but we'll find out, won't we?
That's right. At least with corn, you know, you can do it for, you know, it may not be the greatest quality, but you can get it done in corn.
And your bids for the day are?
Old crop corn, $6.99. New crop corn, $6.03. Old crop beans, $13.21. New crop, $12.71. And new crop wheat, $6.96.
You have a good afternoon now.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. I'll be back in just 2 minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's St. Honorandus Day. He's patron saint of bakers, pastry chefs, and flower merchants. On this day in agricultural history in 1832, Philip Danforth Armour was born. An American industrialist, he was a pioneer in the use of refrigeration and meat canning. Armour & Company helped make Chicago the meatpacking capital of the world. His company was one of the first to employ an assembly line technique. In 1861, John Stevens Henslow died. The British clergyman and botanist was a mentor of Charles Darwin. To get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to get starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845 and 1846. In 1947, Sir Frederick Gowland Hopkins died. He discovered what we now call vitamins, essential nutrients needed in animal diets to maintain health. Hopkins, who received the Nobel Prize in 1929 for his discovery, was expelled from high school for truancy. He then became an insurance salesman, and he was 28 years old before earning enough money to attend medical school. And in 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Michigan and New York could not prohibit people from buying wine online from out-of-state wineries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon, high above the streets of Chicago, there on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Mark Russo sets, taking in the weather forecast for the world and our Midwest. How are you? Are you ready to become
I feel like Superman here, Todd.
You're a superhero, dude.
Not even close.
Okay, tell me about the weather forecast near term for the Eastern Corn Belt in particular.
Well, we see a continuation of unsettled conditions here across the Eastern Corn Belt, all the way through Thursday across portions of Ohio and adjacent areas of Michigan and Indiana. For here in Illinois, it does look like we miss out on much of the precip with our closed low. You know, we got it here over the weekend, but as far as the forecast over the next several days, with the exception of a few sprinkles here and there, especially on into tomorrow night into Wednesday, much of Illinois remains on the dry side. But Ohio and adjacent areas, that's the issue area right now as they continue to get significant rainfall over the next few days.
And to the west?
The area of note out west is the Dakotas and on into Minnesota, especially the northern sections where those areas will see more significant rains return here during the latter part of this week. And that area obviously has had its flooding issues, which still continue across that area, although not as high water levels and as much flooded fields compared to back a couple weeks ago. But with more rains returning to that area, that is a problem area out west. But in between, you know, much of Iowa and Illinois, Wisconsin, Nebraska areas are in good shape here. You know, we do see some more rains return over the upcoming weekend and next week, but that's a lot of rapid planting here of late, that's not of any kind of concern.
The rancher and farmer have learned to get together in the Great Plains states and to the southwest, too, for corn and cattle. But Texas is really dry, and Kansas seems to not be doing so well for its wheat crop.
Yeah, we do see a bit more optimistic days here for rain coming up across the southern plains, but more so in areas of Nebraska, parts of Kansas, not as much into Oklahoma, and Texas looks like the loser overall here is just prospects do not look very good down there. So, for late developing winter wheat and for corn planting across that area, certainly Texas and up through Oklahoma and southwestern Kansas, that's the area worst off here, whereas further north and east, better your rainfall prospects.
And then along the Mississippi River and the Mississippi Delta, where I made note that when they refer to the Delta, they talk about flooding, but I kind of thought that happened naturally anyway. What will they do? We only have about 40 seconds left.
Yeah, well, yeah, they haven't gotten heavy rainfall here of late. It's still all the heavy rain back from several weeks ago and the snow melt. But that the crest here continues down south into the southern sections of the Mississippi. Now it's just a matter of can the levees continue to hold here as the floodwaters begin to ease and subside over the next few weeks.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.